has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I got to tell you, I like that theme song, Hope is Alive, because hope is alive. The only hope there is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, and I agree. That's our hope. Hallelujah.
Amen. And I think we've got Chris with us tonight. Good evening, Chris.
Yes, we do have Chris with you.
Well, praise the Lord. So, Chris, you've survived. Let's see, you've survived in North Carolina riots and flooding and what else?
A busy season and...
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Political correctness and major businesses and sporting championships canceling their contracts here in North Carolina because they want a grown man to go in a little girl's bathroom.
Yeah, imagine that. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So...
You know, I think the appropriate thing that the world is saying this time of year is trick or treat, and neither one of y'all greeted that way. I don't know what's wrong with you.
As for me and my house, we don't, and I think that's what we're talking about tonight. So, I know we've got some callers, and boy, when they call, I'll sure let you men know. But we don't do that.
How about
we don't either. I don't either in Oklahoma. years ago, before I knew about what that meant, I did, but I've repented since then, back when my kids were small, and as I learned these things, that we don't celebrate Halloween whatsoever here in Oklahoma City and our family.
Well, the closest I could find in the Bible, I thought I'd look up real quick, you know, if trick or treat was in there, and that certainly that term isn't in there. But there's something close to it, and we could add a word to it, the word trick. And it fits in Acts 7:6, and God spake on the wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and treat them ill 400 years, talking about being in Israel. And I think you could also put trick or treat them ill for 400 years.
Amen. Well, there's another scripture along these lines that fits many situations, and that is Ephesians 4:27, where we are to give no place to the devil. And so many people celebrating Halloween have no idea, and that's why I asked the guest that's going to be on with us tonight to share. She's made quite a study of the dangers of Halloween. A national women's speaker, she speaks all over the country, home-based here in Oklahoma City, and certainly involved in deliverances for many years. And she'll be on here shortly with us. So, you know, it's people perishing for lack of knowledge. At Hosea 4:6, I didn't know. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know it was a door opener, but I still remember in a deliverance one time, I had that demon up and manifesting, and I commanded to know how it came in, and it said, through Halloween. So, there we go. It's another door that we could open to be demonized and tormented and harassed, and our lives blocked, and our destinies blocked, and even the use of our God-given gifts.
Well, one of the men that you know that's been to Oklahoma City, you've also met him in Branson, he and his family went to Ireland, and they saw a plaque or a sign or a flyer or something saying the origin or the beginning of Halloween was here. And they went and found that place, and they prayed over it.
Wow, praise God. Yeah. Well, let's believe they pulled down strongholds right there.
Amen. You know, it starts, you know, the story of Elijah in the Bible and the story of Jezebel. You know, when you read it, it looks like it's condensed. But I think one time, if I remember correctly, it was spread out over 30 years or more, that battle with that spirit. You know, a lot of times we get discouraged when we pray something and it doesn't happen right now. It's like everything that's being exposed right now as far as the elections, the things that the Democrats have done, the election rigging, the votes, the dead people voting. Pastor Peter started 10, 12 years ago, if I remember correctly, praying that they would be exposed, that which is done in darkness would be brought to light. And in my lifetime, I never remember as many scandals being brought to the surface as has come out even in the last 2 or 3 months. It's daily things are coming out.
Unreal. Unreal.
And it's one of those things where, you know, we prayed in faith, and we had hundreds of people. We had a song that people sang called The Mighty Weapon, and it played every day on the radio for a year, and people sang it and prayed it as they sang to tear down the strongholds that emanate out of Washington, D.C., because that city is founded on wickedness. You know, the designs in the street, the designs in the rooms and the buildings there, the pagan statues. It's not
I'm believing those strongholds are falling. Praise God.
Amen.
And falling at this election.
Amen. That's Cyrus, who was God picked to be king. He wasn't what you would call a Christian or, you know, a Hebrew, but God sure used him in the Bible. Xerxes, God used him. When Nehemiah built the wall, he was sent by a pagan king that paid for the wall to be built. So we don't know how God's going to work this out, but we do know that God is working on things. Now, you had a deliverance session Monday night. With how many people showed up, and how did that go?
Well, we had a total of 14 cases. We often kind of around that area, 14, 15, and it went very well. The minister was with each person. I ministered to a man that had been in Vietnam. He was a Marine. He'd been all over the world, actually, and seen many deaths, and as a result had a lot of need for inner healing, that where Jesus would come in and heal the feelings connected to those memories. That person will still have the memory, but they don't have the feelings after ministry. It's a supernatural technique called inner healing, where Jesus will come in and do that. And of course, the reason we do that so much is because we learned long ago that demons so typically feed off of those feelings, and often are the roots for demons to be there. So when the inner healing takes place, we jerk the rug out from under the demons, and then they're very easy to cast out. Sometimes they'll go just when we do the inner healing. Some of that happened Monday night.
It's a wounded spirit.
Yes. That's right.
You know, I think there's a verse in Psalms or Proverbs that talks about, you know, a broken bones and things, you know, you can heal, but what can you do with a wounded spirit?
Yes, and minister to the brokenhearted, as Jesus said in Luke 4:18, you know, that he came to do that. And, of course, we are to do the same, the brokenhearted, and to help the hurting people. So,
amen. Amen.
It all fits together.
Well, guys, we've got a caller. Let's bring our caller on. Oh, I hit the wrong button. Sorry about that, caller. Hopefully they'll call back. Oops, don't hit the red button, right, Richard? My apologies. It's been a long day. Oh, here, let's try this again. Hey, good evening. Welcome to Hope is Alive.
Hello, this is Cynthia Hoffmeyer.
Hi, Cynthia. Welcome to the program. My apologies. I just hung up on you a second ago, but thank you for calling back, and we've got you right in the program. Thanks for calling.
Yes.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Everett.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hello.
Oh, so great to have you on.
Thank you.
You know, back when I did a radio show 22 years here in the Oklahoma City area, I had Cynthia on the show many, many times, and I had her on even back then, telling about the dangers of Halloween. And Cynthia, being a national women's speaker, she's gone all over the country doing that, and she studied this Halloween thing extensively. Has become actually a real expert, Cynthia, on these dangers. So, why don't you just go ahead, and the listeners out there, many are not aware, just as I wasn't until age 44. I had no idea. No one had told me what Halloween really means.
Right. Well, you know, the interesting thing is every time I prepare to speak on Halloween or I begin looking at it, I feel more and more certain of the demonic background and the workings of the devil through Halloween. And I think that it's something that, especially even as believers, that we have tried to make it be something that it's not. We've tried to make it just harmless, and we think, well, I don't believe it is this or that, as if our belief can change what something is. And so if you look at the origin of Halloween, it originated about 300 years before Christ with the Celtic people in Europe. And it came out of the Celtic people who had a priesthood called the Druids. And they celebrated Samhain, who was the Lord of Death. And they began to celebrate that year and the Year of Decay on November 1st. And so they would have a big festival the night before on October 31st. And they had all different kinds of customs associated with that, but they all centered around death and decay. And if you look at Halloween today, it really, I mean, the connotation is still the same. It's always about death and graves, skeletons and mummies and jack-o'-lanterns and ghosts and witches. It's not, it doesn't even pretend to look different than what it is. We just try to make it seem, you know, innocuous. It doesn't really make that much difference. But the truth of it is that in the occult world today and in the rituals with the Satanists, it is still in fact, Halloween is their most holy day all year long, and it is the day of witchcraft New Year. It is the New Year for witchcraft. And so we know today that still just horrific things take place on Halloween. And if you're in any kind of ministry and have been for very long, usually you're going to run into some person who has really encountered the effects of Halloween, whether they feel as if a spirit of fear came over them at that time, whether or not they brushed up against someone that they knew that had been a part of even human sacrifice. I've ministered to several people that wore themselves a part of ritualistic human sacrifice and came out of that. Some of them were, one lady had a split personality from the horrors that she had endured during that. One little girl, her parents were killed, and she stayed in an open grave with them for 3 days. So you could imagine the kind of just splintering and emotional damage that would do, a mental damage to a person. So it's, you know, we just try to pretend like it's just fun and games and it's harmless, but it's not. And we're the ones that are deceived by it. And it's sad to me that on almost any other given day of the year, many believers would take a stance against the enemy and readily do spiritual warfare, but on Halloween. And on that night, a lot of times they're at churches, you know, church parties and this and that, and Bible costumes, and we're doing anything but really standing against the forces of evil on the very night that it is the strongest and special powers are released in the demonic world. And it's just, you know, it's really a sad thing, and it's a very prevalent thing.
And sad, yeah.
And, well, you know, a lot of it stems with, we don't want to rob our children of fun. We've gotten so used to wanting everything to be just, you know, wonderful for our children. So we just don't want to rob them of having fun. But I really believe that it's one of the first opportunities that we have as parents to teach our children that the world's fun is not always what it seems to be. And so that we can teach them that it is a holiday, that is where Satan is really worshipped, where he is lifted up, and do we as Christians want to have anything to do with darkness? We don't. And so we can begin teaching our children that they can say no when the world is saying that this is fun, because as they get older, it won't just be Halloween. It will be drugs. It will be sex. It will be this and that. And they will say to them, but it's just fun. You're missing out. So for us to teach our children at an early age that just because everybody else is doing it, just because everybody else is saying that it's fun, that we as believers have a different stance, that we're separate from the world, that's not a bad thing. That's not a harmful thing for our children. I feel like it's really a very valuable thing.
Yes. So true.
Right.
I wish I had known all this earlier with my kids, but I didn't.
Yeah. Right.
You've got so much of the world that is taught that there's not even a Satan. So how can it be damaging to put on a little suit that looks like a devil if there's no such thing as Satan?
Right. It's really just a... It's one of the best deceptions that the enemy has put out there. But if you really stop and think about it, honestly, if you think of Halloween, what are you going to see in the stores, in the store windows? What do you see? You see masks that are gruesome with blood coming off of them. You see hideous witches. You see skeletons. You don't see anything that looks wholesome or pure or holy. It absolutely has all of its origins in demonic activity. And so,
well, people spend on Halloween. I heard the amount of money spent on Halloween by adults dressing up is in the billions.
Yes. It's second to Christmas in holidays that's celebrated, and it's gaining momentum all the time. And it really and truly, it is a complete deception. It's what it is. And you know, whenever people come out of Satanism, they give you a lot of insight about Halloween and what goes on, and you can hear their testimonies. And they talk about the haunted houses, for instance, and how a haunted house is prayed over by the Satanists, that in those haunted houses that people will be lured into a curiosity about witchcraft or Satanism, or that they will be frightened so that they will take up and give an opportunity for a spirit of fear to enter them. And so people may just, you know, jokingly and have fun, and they're just going to go to a haunted house. But see, they don't realize that they're going to encounter spirits that are over that haunted house. Similarly, just like whenever we have a revival, when we have a crusade of some kind, and we as believers spend hours and days and time preparing, that when people come to that, that they will be drawn by the Holy Spirit. And so a lot of people come to a revival or a church service with no intention of giving their lives to Christ. But the spirit that is there, it brings them into the truth and the light of Christ, and they get saved. And so it's the counterfeit in the demonic. They have the same type of thing where they are praying over the different things that are going on at Halloween, and praying that that will affect and have an influence over the people that open themselves up to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's got to be it. And you know, you mentioned Cynthia the Deceiver, which, of course, in Deliverance, we run into the Deceiver of the Lie program constantly, and you can imagine how over the centuries that the Deceiver's been at work whispering even into Christians' heads that it's okay to do this, just go ahead and have some fun.
Right. Right.
So they'll open a door, you know?
Correct. And, you know, I think it's important that we look at the origin, at the beginning and root of whatever it is that we're participating in. Because that tells you a lot about how it was birthed, how it came about. And whenever you look at the practices of Halloween, trick-or-treat, where it originated from, how it originated, and the spirit guides that were associated with that, why they carved faces into pumpkins, or gourds, it was to represent a spirit guide, or to represent a child that had been mutilated and sacrificed. I mean, there's absolutely nothing cute about it. Trick-or-treat, the druid priest, they would come into town and they would demand food and fruit and such from the people, and if they didn't give it, then they would kill one of their livestock, or they would place a curse on their house, or at the very worst, they would take a child and sacrifice them. And so there are a lot of different customs depending on where you look, but every single one of them were demonic in nature and had to do with death and destruction and decay. Every single time, every single one of them. And so taking those symbols that originated from the festival of Samhain, which is the festival of death and destruction, which is really a representation of Satan, and we are participating in that. And the word is clear that we are not to have anything to do with darkness, and that the followers of Christ are not to drink of the same cup, that we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, we are to reprove them and expose them for what they really are. And so we don't do that. And really, a lot of, through the years, as I would speak on this, most of the opposition that I had, the biggest opposition I had, was from the Christian community. Because it was like, don't rain on my parade. don't try to tell. I don't want to know about this. I really don't want to know about it. I don't want it to be ruined. And so I asked the Lord every time before I would speak, Lord, am I making a mountain out of a molehill? Am I being legalistic about this? Am I putting law on people? And I would really pray and ask the Lord to make me sensitive. And He gave me a specific word one year. It was in 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 through 26. And listen to this word. He was saying to me, and the Lord's bondservant, which He was talking to me as a bondservant, must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Now,
amen.
That is a powerful word.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, so the Lord said, don't argue, don't fight, be gentle, be kind, speak the truth, and pray that those that are in opposition will come to their senses and that they will escape from the snare of the devil to do his work and participate in that holiday. I mean, that sealed it, you know, for me to know that God was serious about it.
That sounds like our Lord, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
Well, Pastor Fox, do you think it may be, you may be a good idea tonight before our guests leave for you to lead us in a prayer for parents that have allowed their children to participate in this evening and maybe give them some guidance and things to look for that they may need to maybe do some deliverance.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Well, the deceiver is certainly at work. We can see the results of it. And it's just going to keep going if we don't have shows like this and get the truth out accordingly. But yes,
right.
Let's pray. And
well,
you know,
even the police know at Halloween, they have extra forces because animals are mutilated and sacrificed. They know that a lot goes on, and in many areas of our country. They even try to keep that hidden because it would be so horrific and it would cause such fear in the people that they don't really want them to know what all is taking place. And I know in Oklahoma City, one day, one Halloween, a lady came to us for ministry a few days before Halloween, and she had really fled for her life because in the coven that she was in a group of witches, and for Halloween they had told her that she would either provide the sacrifice, human sacrifice, or she herself would be the sacrifice. And she had seen and witnessed and been a part of human sacrifice for many years in that cult. And so that's something that, you know what, we just don't think that's, we hear things like that and we think it has to be untrue and an exaggeration, but it's not.
Oh, yes, and we run into this, of course, constantly at Deliverance Ministries where we have people that disclose just what you have. Well, Cynthia, yeah. With your background on Halloween, why don't you go ahead and lead the prayer in this? Cynthia is a pastor as well, Chris. In fact, we've been pastors together in the same church, and so I'm very familiar with Cynthia and how she prays. So since you are the expert on Halloween here, Cynthia, why don't you go ahead and lead us in the prayer? We have about 5 or 6 minutes remaining here with this segment, and let's just lift up the people and that the Holy Spirit would bring truth to them as to what's going on.
Okay. So, well, Father, we just come to you now in the powerful name of Jesus.
Yes.
And I know, Lord, that you are the Spirit of truth, and that you give us truth, and that you lead us into understanding. And, Lord, your word says that you are light, and that light has no fellowship with darkness. And so, Lord, we come to you now, and we ask you to forgive us for any participation, whether we did it knowingly or unknowingly, with the deeds of darkness. And everything that would concern Halloween, Lord, we ask you to forgive us, and we ask you to open our eyes, Lord, that we can see the truth. I thank you, Lord, that truth does not condemn us, but it liberates us. I thank you, Lord, that it is something that brings us out of darkness into your marvelous light, that it frees us from bondage. And so, Father, we just want freedom in Christ. We thank you that Jesus was manifested, that he might destroy all the works of the devil. I thank you, Lord, that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us one of a sound mind, one of power, and one of love. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, we cast off and we throw off every spirit of fear. every way in which the enemy has tried to intimidate us or draw us in, every way in which he has tried to gain access into our mind or into our emotions, we come against every spirit of fear in the name of Jesus, and we command that you be removed off of us in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And Lord, we speak to every spirit of deception, every way in which the enemy would appear as an angel of light, every way in which he would masquerade around, and every way in which he would try to fool and bring counterfeit our way. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we break that stronghold of deception off of us. And Lord, we command that it be broken, that it go, that it leave us, that our eyes and our ears and our spirit be open to truth and to light and to life. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are the God of life, and we reject and cast off the God of death and destruction, that Satan is a liar, and he prowls around like a lion, seeking whom he can devour, that he seeks only to kill, steal, and destroy. But, Lord, you came to give us life and give us abundant life. And so, Lord, I thank you that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And so, Father, I pray that you will bring us to a place of light and knowledge. I pray, Father, that we will have the courage to speak forth your truth, and that, Father, that we will see the reality of not robbing our children from a night of fun. Rather, Lord, we are equipping them to be wise to the schemes of the devil. And so, Lord, I just ask in Jesus' name that you would help us as parents to see truth, and that we would bring that into our children, that, Lord, that we desire that we and our children be light in their generation. And so, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would now awaken each one of us. And I speak that to everyone that would be listening. I command, awaken in the name of Jesus. Awaken our hearts. Awaken our minds, our ears, our eyes, our spirit. Lord, awaken us to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that it is. And everything, Lord, that every vain imagination, everything that lifts itself up against the true knowledge of God, Lord, we take it captive to the obedience of Christ, and we command that every stronghold, every spirit of destruction, every spirit and assignment against us for destruction, we absolutely cast it down in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we profess that you and you, Lord, alone are King. You are King of kings. You are Lord of lords. You are worthy to be praised. There is only one true God, and his name is Jesus. And Lord, we worship him and praise him, and we entrust ourselves to him. So, Lord, thank you for delivering us. Thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us into light out of darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, and we're all in agreement. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Praise God. That was awesome, Cynthia. And that was truth going forth. And you were speaking directly out there, pulling down those strongholds. And that's, you know, we're commissioned to do it in his name. And there you were.
Yeah.
Well, I'm believing even some of my grandkids that will give me more boldness to speak to them. You know, the kids are so caught up into it, and it's hard to even talk to them. They're moving so fast.
But
I'm believing
if you look at the movies, you just look at the movies that come out around Halloween. I mean, it is not
gross.
Subtle. It doesn't even pretend to be something that it's not, to tell you the truth. It's very
horrible out there
and obvious.
Yeah, it's quite evident. You can see that our society has changed from a godly society to a society of death. And you're right on. This Halloween is just a celebration of that, a furthering of that. And our people, the so-called Christians, they just want to be like everybody else. And
They are Christians. They really are. They're just, they've been deceived on this.
Yes.
They really have. They've just been deceived on it. And really, most of the time, in the name and from the idol of fun.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us. We appreciate you coming on and the information. And Thank you. On behalf of Hope is Alive, hope to hear from you again.
Thank you so much.
Bless you all.
You're a blessing.
Good night.
Yes, thank you. And guys, I think our next caller's on the line. Caller, welcome to Hope is Alive.
Thank you.
Jennifer, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm excited to have Jennifer call in. Jennifer is a new team leader with Deliverance Ministries, but she's been around this type of ministry for many, many years. Her dad was a deliverance minister, well, decades and decades. I've forgotten how long. It must have been 20, 30 years. And he passed away this year. But Cynthia is following in his, Jennifer is following in his footsteps and is gone through our training and is now doing ministry. But I had asked her to come on and just share, of course, how you first came into the realization, Jennifer, that deliverance is real and it can help people, and then any experiences you're comfortable in sharing.
Well, it's been amazing. It's been an eye-opener. And being around my father, he would tell me stories of how to deal with what spirits and such infirmities would come along, and he would tell me which spirit might be causing that and which unforgiveness I would need to work on. And so it's been many, many years of training and being around this type of ministry. And he recently passed away, and since then the Lord has been, the floodgates have just opened and the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me, and I've been living in the spirit realm ever since his passing. And now the ministry sessions are finding me, so I thought I had better get with Everett and get up and have a refresher course soon. So I did. And I have been attending and learning a great deal, and it's been absolutely amazing. I've been on a spiritual cloud nine for many months now.
It is interesting, Jennifer, how as we get to ministering in this, how it works in a reciprocal way that, as we minister to others, we get ministered to ourselves.
Yes.
I think that's one reason we all feel so so wonderful at the end of a ministry session. So I'm sure you've been experiencing that.
Yes, it's been very powerful. And I did actually, I ran into a ministry session found me that you might be interested in. It was about a month ago that I had called a friend who had recently been in a car wreck, and I was just calling to see how she was doing, and she said she was doing okay, but I could tell she was about to cry, and so we started talking, and what I was unaware of was that the past 16 months of what had been going on in her life, she began to tell me. And she had had three back surgeries, house flooded. She had to move into a hotel, a seven-floor hotel. Her room was the only one that flooded again. She had a fever of unknown origin. Her air conditioner had just gone out. She had job cutbacks, and then finally she had just had a car wreck. So...
Oh, goodness.
In listening to all of these things, I hear the Holy Spirit telling me, well, obviously, this is spiritual. This is not normal. This is someone who is the target of the enemy. And so I said, well, do you have time to pray about it? Would you like to deal with this right now? And she said she would like to. And so I said, well, the Lord is telling me that... I think you're dealing with the spirit of death, which is apropos after the conversation that we just heard from Cynthia. And the spirit of death is very active around this time of year. And I asked her, mm-hmm. ring true in your spirit. And she started to just cry, just all out cry and sobbing. And I said, well, if you feel well enough to deal with this right now, would you like to? And she said, yes. So I proceeded to open up in prayer and started binding unholy spirits. I prayed a covering over both of us and commanding that we could only hear the voice of the true Lord Jesus, and asked the Lord, what would you have me pray for this girl? He said, where do you want me to start? And he said, ask her what the last movie she saw. And so I asked the girl, I said, well, what was the last movie that you watched? And she and her girlfriends had recently watched the entire season of Supernatural, and they had watched the entire Twilight Saga, which is all about vampires. So I thought, well, yeah, obviously, Spirit of Death that we're dealing with, because the vampire spirit is the spirit of death, zombies, all of that, spirit of death. So I led her through some inner healing and some soul cleansing to get rid of all of the impure things that she had said, and I spoke to her about how all of the things that you say, that you do, and that you hear imprints on your soul, and that you need to get it out, clean it, ask for forgiveness. And so we went through some of that, and asked her, we went through the forgiveness for the participation of watching these things. And so we went through some ministry, and we found out where the spirit of death had entered, and it was great fear during the last tornado that had come through Oklahoma City, the really bad one. I think it was the May 5th tornado.
Mm-hmm. The one at Moore, or?
The one in Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah. She was a first responder, and she was assigned to help the children who were displaced from the school with the knowledge that they had just the teachers' lives had
the
just
wall
been lost.
Fell down.
And so, obviously, even the most faith-filled humans are going to find it difficult in a scenario like that. But fear came in. And with that came a fear of not trusting God, and along with the spirit of death. So we prayed. We went through the deliverance, everything that you taught us. And we asked forgiveness, and we cast out a self-condemnation, false responsibility, and several other things. And did a door closing so that they wouldn't be able to return. And it was at this point that I stopped to give her an incredible spiritual tool for someone who is dealing with way too much and has too many things going on and is absolutely overwhelmed. And I said that if you just raise your hands to the sky and say, Father, I ask for and receive the grace of abundant life. And I said, just close your eyes, breathe it in, and receive the gift from the Lord. When you're dealing with too much, I said, this is your spiritual fuel. This is how Jesus did it. This is what he asked for. So I told her to do that. She immediately told me that her ears started popping and they began to clear. She turned her neck and described what was happening over the phone. And she said, oh, I can't believe it. I have full mobility in my neck. And she said, I haven't had that in 16 months. So I said, well, praise the Lord. That's amazing. Let's keep going. We're not finished.
Praise God.
So I said, well, here's where it gets really interesting. So I call up the spirit of death and said, do you testify before the true Lord Jesus that you are the head demon here? And no was the reply. So I said, I command in Jesus' name that you answer me. To whom do you answer? From where do you get your assignment? From who assigned you? And after a few seconds of silence, she says, it's an it, and it is ancient. And so I thought to myself, uh-oh. And then she said, it is the one who controls the foundations of this area of prophecy. So I start thinking to myself, what did you just get yourself into? And this is just a phone call to a friend to see how they were doing, and then you end up fighting principalities. Good job, Jennifer. So
a stronghold of the air.
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, this was underground. And before I have a chance to question myself anymore, I immediately asked the Lord. I said, "What do you want me to do next?" And so I questioned to make sure that this was the head demon. I said, "Do you testify that that ancient entity is the head demon that gave you your assignment?" And it said, "Yes." I said, "How many do you command? Does it command?" And the answer was 16,000. So I thought to myself, I said, "Lord," I closed my eyes and I'm like, "Lord, can you just give me a little context as to what is going on here?" And I close my eyes and I see Oklahoma City and I see the state capitol complex. And that's covered with these enormous, huge, glowing spiritual chains, this enormous chain links. And they were covering the whole complex. And there were glowing spiritual chains leading out to all of the surrounding towns. And it was connected to all of the municipal courthouses. And it was all the legal government buildings in each city and all the surrounding cities, and just hundreds of them. And so I thought to myself, well, I think it's time to call for backup. So I invite the necessary number of the host of heaven and however many it would take to surround and occupy the foundations of Oklahoma City and the surrounding cities. And I started lifting my hands up, and I was really starting to get after it. And I said, "I command that all the chains be broken, and I command that the land be cleansed of all the sins and iniquities in this dimension and all dimensions in Jesus' name. And I command the host to restore these foundations and to sever all the connections with the enemy and to break all the chains, and I break all the curses, the residual curses, the programmed curses, and all the programming over these foundations. And I instruct the host to cleanse these lands and prepare them for the coming kingdom of God."
Praise God.
And so I sit back and ask the girl that I was ministering to, and I said, "Is the Lord telling you anything? Is the Holy Spirit talking to you?" And she said, "Underground. It's underground. It's still underground." So I said, "I ask the host of heaven to remove any unholy entities residing underground or under these foundations, and I ask the Holy Spirit to replace and fill any area previously occupied by these unholy entities from the foundations to the core of the earth in this dimension and in all dimensions in Jesus' name. I bind all of these entities to the one who claims this area of prophecy." I said, and I went on to say that, I cast you out, and I command that you report directly to the feet of Jesus for judgment. And so I paused to see if she felt any different and if there was anything going on. It was difficult to do over the phone. And she said, "I can feel it. I can feel it unwrapping around my spine. It's starting at the top, and it's unwrapping, and it's leaving at the base of the spine." And she said, "My ears are popping, my shoulders are popping, and all of the pain from three back surgeries and a car wreck and every unknown fever, all of that," she said, "it's gone. It's just gone. It's completely gone."
Praise God.
So we continued to do a little bit more, you know, healing on her body, and she was no longer crying. She started to get all bubbly and tell me about what the Holy Spirit had been doing in her life, and how she had been led to pray over I-35 specifically. And I thought, well, this is a great time. Let's go ahead and do that. So we came into agreement, and we prayed specifically over I-35 and all of the branches that were connected to it. And we instructed the host to go up and down the entire length of I-35 and to cleanse it, and said we consecrate it in Jesus' name, and to remove the enemy from it completely, and to prepare it for the coming kingdom of God and prepare it for the Lord. And so it was a pretty incredible time. It was amazing. I mean, she had gotten an incredible amount of relief. And I'm not fully aware of what occurred in the spiritual realm, but it was exactly 12 hours after hanging up with her that she sent me a text message that incidentally happened to be the morning of September 3rd. That was the morning of the earthquake that was under Pawnee, Oklahoma City, and that had been felt way up I-35 to North Dakota and all the way south I-35 down to, I guess it's Houston.
Big one. It was felt all over. I felt it in the eastern part of the state. I was over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. 5 point something.
5.3. Yeah. So whatever happened, that it occurred exactly 12 hours after that phone call. So it was interesting. I'm not completely fully apprised of what happened in the spiritual realm, but I know something did.
It had to be good. Praise God.
It had to be the hosts. So,
amen.
But
I thought
you might find that one interesting.
Well, that was just a normal little deliverance, right?
Well, yeah. You just, you know. So now I'm kind of careful who I call now. I make sure that I'm covered and I am prepared and I am in the spirit before I call any other friends just to see how they're doing.
Yeah. Well, how you been doing on Monday nights? You've worked several cases now since you've become a team leader.
Yes. Yes, and so far we've had immediate healings, and we've had healings that have been gradual. And it's amazing practice to hear the Holy Spirit and to be able to do exactly as he commands it, and it's walking in pure obedience. And
yes,
you know, the tools that you teach us are phenomenal, and when we're listening to the Holy Spirit, sometimes he will deviate, and sometimes you have to have trust enough in the Holy Spirit to do that. But yeah, they've been wonderful.
You know, we have a steady supply of hurting people coming on Monday nights, from, often from other states even, and it is amazing to see how so many get what I typically call a Jesus overhaul in one evening, and their lives are turned around, and so many physical healings take place as well, because when it gets down to it, it's the same process, and of course we run into spirits of infirmity constantly, and so in casting out other spirits, we're able to get those out as well, and healing comes. So it is high adventure, isn't it, Jennifer?
I have had people, I mean, there have been so many people that have walked away that have been completely healed of so many infirmities or addictions, and just incredibly difficult lives that there was nowhere else for them to go. There was no other option. This was the last resort, and they've been completely set free. And some people come and they don't think anything's going to happen, and they walk away feeling freer than they've ever felt before, and they're light and they're happy, and they've found that pure joy that comes when you know the Holy Spirit, and so it's been amazing.
Well, Jennifer, it thank
certainly
you for
is.
Being on the program.
Oh, well, thank you for having me
so much.
And,
appreciate
and
it, Jennifer.
Thank you. I imagine things will pick up now that October 31st is rolling around, so I imagine the next few weeks will be very busy. So I will see you
Amen.
On Mondays.
Okay,
you know,
Jennifer,
she
God bless
you. She said she was led to pray for I-35, and I just pulled it up on the Internet, and I-35 is one of the major north and south border interstates, and it splits the United States, and it's called the NAFTA Superhighway. Runs
yes.
from Mexico pretty much to Canada, and the thing with it is it's hard to tell what spirits that road is bringing in from the south or from the north.
Yes. And it is a very, very mm-hmm. divisive highway, and of course you can tell, you know, our nation is very divided right now, and so I'm going to be praying these things over our state, nation, country, city, county, everything. I'm going to be tearing down the strongholds and sending out the host to clean out all of these curses and lift the blindness and the deceit that has
yes.
been pulled over the eyes of this country. And so that's
yes.
what I'm going to be praying in the next few weeks.
Well, thank
all
you, Jennifer. You have a blessed night.
God
thank
bless
you so much.
We are quickly running out of time, but I wanted to address a couple of things. If you'd like to find out more about Deliverance Ministries, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. And if you do feel that there's a reason you need to pray over your children, there's a lot of self-help tools there. You can also contact Mr. Everett Cox. And I do want to address something. You know, Cynthia said that she was a pastor, Pastor Cox brought that up. You know, this ministry has a stand that we do not believe in women pastors. You know, the Bible is clear on that. I think it's pretty clear on that. And I just didn't want to be rude to our guest, but that's just one of the stands on this ministry, and I don't think that stand has changed. Anything you want to close with, Pastor Cox?
Well, it was an exciting evening again, and I'm sure listeners heard some areas that they weren't familiar with, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will take it from there with them.
Now, you're going to be closed for Halloween, right?
No, we're it's a great night to do ministry.
Amen.
The 31st.
Well, thank you for being with us. Be blessed, and we'll see you next week here on Hope is Alive. And Richard, thank you very much.
My pleasure. God bless.
God bless.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like a died.